You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, the media has ingrained itself into every aspect of our life in the current digital era, and I think you'd agree with me on that one. We are constantly inundated with news and entertainment via, of course, social media and other streaming platforms as well. But the question then that we are trying to answer today is, how is this constant media exposure affecting our spirituality? And we've got Coach Melusi Ndlalambi who's joining us at this particular point in time. Coach, good evening to you.
Good evening and welcome.
How are you today?
Oh man, I could be better.
Oh, okay.
I'm grateful to be alive.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And the day?
Hectic as usual.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some boys I spent some time training on media this week.
Actually,
the past 2 weeks I was training a pastoral evangelist on how to use media.
Oh, wow.
To spread the gospel. So it's been quite a fantastic...
Is there such a thing as pastoral evangelist?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, that's an interesting
because
concept.
Remember, the Spirit gave gifts to the church.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4 to 7, the edification of the church gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and then some pastors and teachers. So you can be both.
You can be both. Eh?
Maybe you can actually have all the five. Those are the five talents.
That would be nice. It's just the responsibility of five talents.
It's a lot, man.
It's a lot. Eh?
So it's been a very fulfilling time. I last did this before COVID, so it was really a God-given opportunity, and I was quite impressed.
Ah, fantastic. And I'm sure it looks like you're loving it.
I wouldn't
do anything else. Yeah, I know, right?
No ways. I found it. When I found my purpose, everything ceased to mean anything.
I remember we once had this conversation around purpose and all that. Yeah.
Yes, we did.
We did.
And like I explained, this is it, man.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it in the next few minutes.
Definitely, definitely. I appreciate your time, by the way.
You're welcome.
As always, and thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
It's a big word, isn't it? This thing called the digital media technology. Mm-hmm. It's a big word. So I want us to really start there. Let's then define what exactly do we mean when we talk about digital media technology.
So we're talking about anything that's online.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
When we say online, we're talking about products you're creating.
Yeah.
That can be transmitted either offline through devices.
Okay.
Or you can transmit them online, meaning on the internet. Because you can download what's on the internet and still send it out as a digital copy.
Yeah.
I can download the book Desire of Ages and send it to your WhatsApp as a digital copy.
Yes.
So that's digital media.
Yeah.
But also we talk about any other platforms that are actually hosting what we call the digital signal.
Mm.
I'm sure there are people watching us live right now.
Mm.
You are watching a digital media.
Mm.
And it's not just us talking.
Yeah.
We are actually communicating stuff that we would have communicated with them if we were to meet them face to face.
Yeah.
So we're talking about electronic platforms or devices like your cell phones. They are digital. They are smartphones. And they facilitate communication and information sharing.
Yeah.
And obviously they can be used for entertainment.
Yeah.
To entertain yourself.
Yeah.
And they can also be used for education.
Mm-hmm.
And for sharing information that's critical, which we believe as Christians, the knowledge of Jesus Christ can actually be on that platform.
Yeah.
And by definition, we are a church that's sending our message in the midst of the heavens.
Yeah.
So by definition, we are a church that has espoused digital media.
Mm-hmm.
I think John didn't have the words, but now we have the words.
We have the words. Eh?
I saw the gospel flying in the midst of the airwaves.
Ah, look at that.
Internet.
Look at that.
So now we have the word.
We're living in that era then of the fulfillment of those words, literal fulfillment. That's what you're saying.
It doesn't get better than this, my brother.
Sure.
That's why.
Yeah.
After you read the three angels' messages, Revelation 14, 6 to 12, flying in the midst of heaven one after the other, look at verse 4, verse 18, which is the verse after the three angels' messages. What does it say? It says, blessed are those who die henceforth, meaning in the period when the digital press and internet has become a reality, what happens to them? They rest in their graves, but their works do follow them. That statement alone.
Yeah.
The dead know nothing.
Yeah.
They can't do anything in their graves.
Yeah.
But that verse says their works do follow them. What does it mean, Tapelo? It means when you die today, after this live broadcast,
we
can always hear you.
Hey, that's beautiful.
You will be preaching.
Yes.
Yes. And we can tell examples of preachers who have since gone, but they left us with either books or cassettes or CDs, or those videos are being repurposed. Yeah. They're coming back online now.
Yeah.
So that's what digital media does.
Sure. I'm actually hearing something, and it's not on, on our discussion yet, but what I'm hearing is that we all have an opportunity to leave something, a legacy of some sort, through the utilization of digital media platforms and instruments. And we should be taking advantage of that, because if, like you said, using that analogy and example, if I die today, this broadcast will be shared. People can go back to it 2-5 years after.
Absolutely.
So there's no reason to not leave something.
Yeah, absolutely. You see, here's a statement I like.
Yeah.
You cannot die a life you never lived.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
It means you have not honored God with your substance and your life. You cannot die a life you never lived.
Yeah.
And don't force us to lie on your funeral.
Oh.
To say he was this great man and yet you have left us with nothing.
Yeah.
Every brain, every mind
is
an antenna for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Sure.
And the Holy Spirit is downloading stuff into us. I mean, I'm a scientist. I can tell you from public health, we have not yet measured the source of a thought. So if you can think, therefore you can achieve it. When I wrote my first dissertation as an undergraduate in 1996, I don't know where you were then.
Yeah.
I wrote in my dissertation, if I can think about it, then I can do it.
That's really
so there's no reason for any one of us to die and not live anything because we have thoughts.
Yeah.
And those thoughts are given to us uniquely.
Yeah.
We must transfer them from our head because they're very perishable.
Yeah.
Into products and videos and books and articles so that when we are gone, we can leave a legacy.
And that's why we're having this conversation.
Absolutely.
Then. Before I get into the growth of the digital media technology, right? Mm-hmm. You mentioned something that was quite interesting, that this is an opportunity, but it can be abused, isn't it? I mean, there are people who are using these platforms for good, but there are those that actually use it for bad.
Oh, yes. Actually, when I started my ministry a few years ago, people thought that being on YouTube is defamatory.
Yeah.
It's corrupting my mind.
Yeah.
I don't do YouTube
on
Sabbaths.
Yeah.
There's an elder, actually, very educated, who told me, sorry, my brother, I don't watch YouTube on Saturday. And because it was associated with profanity and worldliness.
Mm.
But COVID came and YouTube remained YouTube.
Yeah, that thing changed a lot of things. Eh?
So in the hands of corrupt minds and the best souls, technology, let alone the current one that's causing a lot of headaches, the artificial intelligence, which is now building on the platform of technology.
Yeah.
So there's technology, then there's artificial intelligence that's building on the technology. So it becomes even more scary when it is handled by people who don't know God.
Yeah,
I listened to a video recently by the South African billionaire.
Yeah.
What's his name? Musk. Is it
Elon Musk?
Elon Musk?
Yes.
He said AI is unleashing a demon. If this technology lands in the wrong hands, AI can become a massive god, a god who knows everything. So it can actually be used terribly. If you look at all the current wars, the current attacks on buildings, they are using technology.
Yeah. That's
to accomplish what we couldn't before.
Yeah.
That's why now as you enter every building, you are scanned for gadgets and things. Because a simple conversation you can have with somebody saying something very sensitive can be recorded the other side and published and tarnish your name until you commit suicide. So this technology can actually be abused.
Yeah.
And therefore we need to be careful how we handle it.
Yeah.
But as Christians, this can finish the work.
Yeah.
In fact, can I be bold and declare my thoughts?
Okay.
Disclaimer, this
is
me.
Yes, 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 okay, definitely.
I understand that when Jesus says the last days shall be shortened for the sake of the saints,
yes,
he had technology in mind to shorten time.
That's a bold statement.
Because right now, as we sit here, someone in America, 6 hours behind us, is watching with us. Someone in Fiji, New Zealand, Australia could be tuned into this live broadcast. How many hours have we brought into 1 hour?
Sure.
6 plus 12, that's 18 hours can participate right now.
Yeah.
So this thing is shrinking time.
Yeah.
I said this to another lady who had finished preaching here in Africa.
Yeah.
And for 7 days.
Yeah.
And was flying back to America.
Yeah.
I said, if I start broadcasting your sermons right now, from the time you take off at O.R. Tambo, by the time you get to America in 19 hours, I would have played all your sermons online.
This thing is scary.
You see, it's shrinking
time
for the sake of the saints.
Yeah.
So this technology is going to places, buildings, and countries and territories you and I cannot go.
Sure. That's an interesting thought. For those of you who are joining us live, you can, of course, ask your questions if you do have on +27734703520. That's the number that you can use if you do have a question. Now, my question then, as we get into, I suppose, the meat of this is, let's talk about the growth, because you touched on the issue of, suppose, COVID in a way that has changed how we viewed digital media technology platforms, instruments, whatever the case might be. Let's talk about the growth. How has that changed over the last few years?
I would encourage our viewers to go and look for a report that's called We Are Social.
Okay.
We Are Social. It's a report that's been published year on year. There are specific country profiles.
Okay.
There are global, regional, and specific platforms that are analyzed in terms of access to information and for communication, training, and education. I would simply describe it as exponential growth. Because if a ministry like Melvi can start COVID with about 50,000 subscribers, by the time COVID comes to the end of a first year, which is 2020, we had doubled our numbers online. Okay, that means nothing to someone because they don't realize that it took us 9 years
to get to 50,000.
Huh. And then COVID became a catalyst to double what took us 9 years in 1 year.
Yeah, okay.
So if you don't have an online profile right now, the future will never remember you. You will die and you'll be forgotten. But if you've got online presence, that technology is going to carry your voice until Jesus comes. And so we have seen exponential growth on online platforms.
Yeah.
Our views doubled online.
Sure.
YouTube reached over 1 billion people who log in every day.
Sure.
And there are over 1 billion videos that are published.
Yeah.
On one day, surely you can't have zero videos
online. Definitely.
I mean, people are uploading sometimes useless content.
Yeah.
Let me be mild. I'm on radio.
Yeah,
Christian
radio. Yes.
They are uploading useless stuff and they are reaching millions.
Mm.
Just sitting there and talking about your morning breakfast and what you did.
A million views.
What do you think is
That's
driving the celebrity thought. The celebrity culture?
Yeah.
It's media. Technology is driving their popularity.
Yeah.
And so a child sitting down deep in Umhlabalingana, Mkhuze, wherever, Saint Mount Elif, deep in the rural areas, when they see a video of you sitting in studio, their aspirations suddenly rise and they want to be on that wavelength.
Yeah.
And so we've seen exponential growth. Okay. And I think God actually is opening the airwaves so that technology can carry the three angels' messages to the corners you and I cannot reach.
Yeah, that was a bold dare statement that you made a little bit earlier on. And I think if one thinks about it just logically, you realize that's the truth. That's where it is.
In fact, I always tell pastors, if I can just throw in this point.
Yeah.
Even if I give you a fast jet, personal jet with
your
pilot, your cook, and your personal team, and I give you all the budgets to go and check in all 5-star hotels and preach this gospel everywhere. That preacher, with all those resources, cannot beat the speed of a video going around the world.
That's an interesting thing. That's something else there. +27734703520. That's of course the number that you can use if you do have a question. We are live, of course, across all our social media platforms as well, and happy to take any questions that you might have from there. Here's my question, Coach. There's obviously a daily use of these social, digital platforms and all that, like you said, for good content, for nonsensical content. I'll just use that word on your behalf, you know.
Nonsensical, you. I didn't say it.
Exactly. Nonsensical content and all those sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But they're obviously like with everything else in life, there's the good, the positive, but there's also the negative. Talk to us a little bit about those two.
So, if you read the book of Revelation, the woman pregnant with the child, standing before there was the dragon, ready to devour the child.
Yeah.
Child taken up to heaven.
Yeah.
Who's the scapegoat now? Go after the woman. The Bible says, and the dragon cast a flood after her to cause her to drown. My personal understanding of that, because this is water.
Yeah.
It's nations.
Yeah, exactly. People.
It's nations. People. Daniel said, they will mingle one with another, but they'll never. So there's a lot of infiltration, and our societies have suddenly become multicultural. Now we are benchmarking on aspirations that we see in America.
Yeah.
Our boys now want to speak like people in America.
Yeah. What's up, man?
Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying, man?
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, it's cool. Even the body language.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what technology does.
Yeah.
It changes cultures.
Yeah.
It changes a life, the way of a society.
Yeah.
But the point I wanted to highlight from Revelation is that flood, in my space when I consider it, it's actually information overload.
Okay.
That's one of the biggest challenges of digital technology.
Yeah.
On a morning, on a Saturday, you can have 10, 15 services available for you to watch.
And there's a lot, eh? It's really a lot.
If every service is about an hour and a half,
sure,
plus 10, that's a full day of being lazy in your bed, in pajamas, watching and binging. So that can be a problem for your health and your spirituality. And obviously the other problem is you can all be sitting in the same room and everyone on there. So it kills social cohesion, social structures for the families.
Yeah.
And sometimes the challenge, Tapelo, is there's this thing they call deepfake, fake news. Some
spreads
of these things
quickly.
Are spread out there as a video. It looks genuine, but actually it's misleading facts. It's not true. So those are some of the challenges. And obviously, man, I get a lot of Facebook requests of people that know about me, but I've never met them.
There's a lot of them.
So how do I accept this person into my personal space when I don't know them in person? So it actually destroys our engagements, becomes superficial.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing you now.
Yeah.
I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
We are connecting.
Yeah.
If I meet you online, I know you.
Yeah.
But this celebrity culture of having followers, some of whom have never met you, exposes you to people you don't even know how they think about you. And sometimes you walk into a mall, people are like, hey, you see that celebrity? Let's watch what he's going to do. And so you're being tracked by a billion other eyes of people you don't know. And
I always wonder, sorry, Coach, to come in, but I always wonder, people who've got millions of followers, how do they feel, though? So many people following you.
Man,
I think there's the pressure to want to always post.
Yes.
You know, then you end up posting, I suppose, nonsense, rubbish things because there's the pressure to post. Everyone is waiting to hear from you.
Exactly. And that's why many of them end up being depressed.
Yeah.
Because not only do you post, but look at the venom that comes in the comments. People attacking you.
Yeah.
For dressing very badly.
Yeah.
For eating and becoming too fat.
Yeah.
A picture can destroy your lifetime. Just being posted online, which you never thought or never wanted the world to see. I have young girls who thought they're just modeling for their boyfriends, took nudes, sent them out, and career destroyed. Some of them killed themselves.
Yeah.
So it can actually have a terrible...
Yeah.
And then obviously you have conflicting messages because now everyone suddenly is an authority. And now you get an Advent message with so many variants to it, you no longer know who to believe. It's the flood. to cause many to be deceived. But also, there's reduced spiritual or personal accountability online. Because you cannot divorce your real life and the reality from what you post out there.
Yeah.
And that's the challenge. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah.
Because everyone now has access. So this thing of saying we're going to control who speaks to our people in church, we're going to control who teaches our children. Oh, man, this is a difficult generation.
Can't do it. Very
they can
difficult.
Close their door in their bedrooms and fly to America and spend the whole afternoon interacting with people in America in your house. A young man can be having plugins on the ears and you think he's listening to your sermon, yet no.
No.
He's tuned in to some American preacher. So it can have a downside in terms of your presence, your participation, and your accountability for your time.
Yeah,
I could go on, man. The challenges are many.
Yeah.
Not even talking about pedophiles who are coming online and creating wrong profiles.
Yes.
False teachers are some of the largest followers.
Mm.
I mean, I look at rankings online in terms of where our ministry Melvi is in terms of the numbers. It's good to know whether we're growing or not.
Yeah.
The guys who are beating us to the front line are charlatans. I won't mention their names, but they're charlatans. They have a bigger online following. But their gospel is a fake gospel.
Is it a reflection of the generation that we are in? Just charlatans everywhere?
I think so. Because one of the signs Jesus told us in Matthew 24, if you read your signs of the times very well, I think four times, if not five times, Jesus kept repeating, watch out for false prophets.
Yeah.
Watch out for false teachers.
Mm.
Watch out, watch out, watch out. Paul later on says, no wonder the devil turns his ministers into ministers of light. But it's not light. And they are available online. And they are some of the largest viewed online ministers or public figures.
Yeah.
And it's a product of the digital age. And so there is what internet has done is it has commercialized spirituality. And by that I mean you have a price tag now to certain services and certain products and certain things you can do and not do.
Yeah.
And they are available online. You can purchase or not purchase if you want. And that by itself lends itself into a very difficult situation for a child of God. Because freely you received.
Freely you must give. And then for us who are Christians, then who are believers of God, is there anything positive with these digital platforms? Also in the context of the fact that, like we said when we started, there was a little bit of apprehension. We always viewed these things as evil things, things from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID then challenged our thinking on this. And we started realizing, maybe they're not so evil anymore. but how do we navigate this as Christians?
I think I have a few points I can share right there. The first thing is that you need to be aware of what you need.
Ooh, okay.
What do I need?
Sure.
When I go to the restaurant, I always tell my family, I order food based on what I crave for, what my body is telling me I need, not how it is advertised on that menu.
Sometimes.
So listen to yourself
and
say, what is it that I really need?
Yeah.
And then go out to search for it and set yourself time.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it for the next hour or 2 hours. If I don't find it, I'm going to close here and I'll come back later. So you need to make sure that you prioritize your time online and be intentional.
Yeah.
And be mindful that not everything you see on the internet is gospel truth.
Yeah.
Some of it is just lies.
Yeah.
And also strengthen your offline activities. Because sometimes we get too idle and we end up just dropping into social media.
Yeah.
Browsing videos.
Yeah.
And it's a bottomless pit because you can scroll the whole day.
The whole day.
So strengthen your non-online activities.
Mm.
Go for a run.
Mm.
1 hour of a run.
Mm.
Visit a friend.
Mm.
Go to the park. Do other activities that are actually beneficial to you, and prioritize the quality or the quantity of the spiritual content. Your time span can only run until so much.
Yeah.
And no further.
Yeah.
So you know I've got an hour, I could watch something, maybe Sabbath school here, or maybe some technical presentation on this topic, maybe natural science. Okay? Let me learn about the eclipse. Let me learn about light. Let me learn about... So prioritize your areas of learning. The internet now is actually a university. That's available for free for you at the cost of just monthly data. You can educate yourself on any subject matter.
Yeah.
Just do a quick online... So we were editing today another video.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten where you get a certain effect.
Yeah.
I simply went to YouTube and typed it. Boom, five videos came up.
Sure.
And in less than 3 minutes, I've relearned the tool and how we can use it.
Yeah.
So prioritize your offline
and
complement with internet.
Yeah.
Don't make internet the primary source.
Yeah.
You'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
The other thing perhaps is keep a community that's active, an active physical community.
Okay.
That you can go to. So every Saturday, I know COVID spoiled us. We can now sit at home and watch services everywhere and cut ourselves out of certain communities. But I recommend people to have a community that they can affiliate with and make sure that they are still nourished and taught on how to live their life.
Yeah.
And the other thing, obviously, is critically evaluate what you are watching. And hearing on the internet based on what you know. If you are not sure, check with others so that you are not deceived. The ultimate goal of Satan is to deceive the whole world.
Sure.
And he does that by hiding the error in some of these videos we consume
charlatans.
Online by charlatans. Yes. And the other thing, obviously, is critical thinking skills.
Yeah.
You need to think critically and know how to analyze and critique a presentation or information you're being given based on your understanding of the Bible, the teaching or the doctrines of the Bible, and perhaps the values, the statutes, or the principles you've given yourself. All right? If you go online right now and you type umjolo, you'll get 101 responses. But we know there's a particular type
of
umjolo that the Bible endorses.
Yeah.
So you're not going to start running around with all these versions you're seeing online because you need to verify.
Yeah.
And so I encourage Christians to also, here's another powerful point. This comes from yesterday. So I'm discussing with my daughter. She's preparing some sauces here. And I'm like, do you realize what you're doing there? The things you're mixing here, you're creating a concoction of a poison. You're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And she was like, but that's how it's made, Dad. And I said, no, where did you get it from?
Yeah.
No, I saw it online.
Yeah.
And I said, but do you know there's a book actually that talks about everything to do with food and diet? Councils on food. And have you ever read it?
No.
Oh, okay. Do you have the E.G. White Estate books on your phone?
Yeah.
This is my 16-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
No, I don't have. So I drew closer to her,
hugged
her nicely and comfortably, didn't rebuke her. And I say, go to your store, open this, type E.G. White Estate. Two versions came, the blue and the maroon. Choose the one you want. I said, go for the blue one. It's the new one. It's updated. Download all the books.
Yeah.
Here is the book I need you to read about food, councils, nutrition, and diet. So take time to diversify your consumption of information.
Yeah.
The internet is good.
Yeah.
It will never get tired.
Mm.
It's getting even better with AI. Now you go on a browser, there's an AI function that helps you to navigate.
Yeah.
So just be temperate.
Yeah, I think the issue around being temperate is a good one because you made a very important point about setting aside time, right? So you say, I've got an hour to be dealing with this thing online, and this is the time that is set. Like you said, this AI, you are busy watching a video or a sermon or whatever, and it already suggests something for you. Before you even finish this one, you know, you need to go to
something.
That one. Exactly. So by the time you wake up, instead of an hour, you're now into 5 hours into social media or whatever that you're watching there and all those sort of stuff. I want to tap now into your coaching, right? What type of impact does this have on young people? And I'm thinking about using a book versus watching a video. Most young people would rather go for the video than actually read something on a book, you know. So what's the impact that's having, you know, these digital media platforms on young people's mindset and thinking?
Coaching is a powerful field.
Yeah.
Coaching assumes that you know what you want.
Yeah.
It's just that you're not sure whether what you want is the right thing for you.
Yeah.
So as a coach, I'm not going to force you to do anything you don't feel comfortable. I'm going to facilitate. I'm a change agent. Yeah. That just helps you to solve your problems and help solve your problems based on the expectations and the desires you have. So it's actually quite interesting you ask me that question. Let me summarize the coaching session I had yesterday with a 15-year-old girl.
Sure.
And a 13-year-old girl, they are siblings. They've recently relocated from Africa to Europe. So life there is good. The internet is fast. The
everything
platforms
is nice.
Are many.
Yeah.
But they simply got lost in the labyrinth and ended up in the wrong side of areas of internet.
Yeah.
They are now doing online dating, 15-year-old. The other one has discovered people of the other religion that believes you can sacrifice your life for the sake of God. I'm being sensitive here for the names. And the mother discovered my daughters in less than 3 months of being in that continent. They've lost it. They have just been flooded with all these platforms and they've lost it. So I'm sitting in that coaching session now. I'm asking them, what do you want to do with your life? I'm tapping into their interests, into their likes. Yeah. And I discover they just needed guidance to go to the right places.
Yeah.
I think no parent in this day and age can say no to technology.
Yeah.
You may take the cell phone, but they will find a way to access the online platform when you are not there. So I would always encourage accountability for what you want to become versus what you're spending time on.
Okay.
So I drilled them on, you wanted to be famous in what area? How? Why? Until they couldn't give me the answer. And I said, do you see that you're deceiving yourself? The internet has got good and bad people. You need to be very careful where you go. So for young people, definitely they would rather watch a video than read a book. But now these books are online as well. And it's going to be
beautiful.
It's going to be a struggle. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Children are lazy to read. And yet what they are losing is that when you watch something, here's the challenge I have. The young people of olden generations thrived on memorizing scripture and keeping it in the head.
Yeah, till today.
I am worried, Tapelo, by the caliber of Christians we are developing who are growing on the internet. How much of the Bible is here?
Yeah.
It's not there.
Yeah.
So while we have quantity of people joining us, the quality of that conversion, of those disciples we are baptizing, of these young people, I question the capacity they have to recite the Bible. And yet we know that when you read, your brain is engaging all the different imaginary senses and it's growing in mental memory and neural pathways of remembering information because you're engaging with it than when you are watching it. And so I would encourage mothers to read books such as Mind, Character, and Personality to their children. Expose them to who they are and how God designed them to learn and how they consume information and how that information actually becomes part of them. Because everything you read and perhaps everything you watch ends up being part of you. But not many of us have a high visual vividness IQ. Some people have got iconic memory, so they remember better through the eyes, but not all of us are like that.
True.
So find your sport. Make sure you get guidance. So in the end of this coaching session, I just said, you need to listen to your mother. Let her guide your spiritual diet online and your activities online. Let her be your free coach. Because the Bible in Ephesians chapter 5, or is it 6, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is the first commandment with a promise. And so I said, listen to mom. But also ask mom, is this a good platform? I've been on this place. Share your links of what you saw there so that you can evaluate where you were foraging.
Yeah, Yeah.
I believe the lost sheep was lost because she kept seeing greener pastures. Yeah,
and kept on going and going.
Then when the sun set,
yeah,
the grass was no longer the priority.
Yeah.
Safety was now a big issue.
Yeah.
So young people, forage your way into these internet sites. Yeah. But at some point, your life is going to be in danger.
Mm.
Or you would have missed out on opportunities to improve yourself in education, and you've got poor grades that reflect very badly on you because you wasted time online.
Yeah. I suppose the first sign that you are going the wrong way is if you don't want to share it.
Aha!
So you know, hey, now I'm in territories I shouldn't be in. Because I was just thinking about it as well yesterday, as I was thinking about this topic late last night. I was thinking, you know, there's the front side that we see of social media, and then there's the back end where you see like you find yourself on the other side. That's the scary side of these
very
things.
Scary. And if here's a rule of thumb for all young people, if you're not prepared to share what you have watched, possibly you are ethically out of the loop, or you are committing what we call sin before God.
Definitely.
If I cannot take your phone and review what your history,
on private mode, I browse on private mode.
Then there are challenges. That
definitely
must just be an alarm for you.
Yeah, I know you're running out of time, but I want to ask this question, particularly for us as Christians. Why did we have a fear of these platforms?
Actually, human beings by nature fear what they don't know and what they can't control.
Okay.
Many phobias are based on that.
Okay.
If I'm in an aeroplane, I can't control whether I can go out of the door and run away.
Yeah.
I get claustrophobic because I'm no longer in control. So lack of control is what makes us sometimes be afraid.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just ignorance.
Ignorance.
Because they say ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently.
But when you know what could go wrong,
then
you will redeem time because you know the days are evil.
Very true. That's very true. Even how you then navigate whatever it is, you make sure that you think about it in what we would call in business systems thinking.
There you go. And you have your options of what if it goes wrong, what's my B plan, what's my fallback plan.
Exactly.
And you don't invest and you don't put yourself fully in a place where you can be destroyed and there's no recourse.
Yeah. That systems thinking is a very important one. So as we ended off then, as content creators yourselves, which I think is a very interesting topic, do we need to emulate the world's content creators? So we spoke about them earlier on, particularly in terms of creativity, aesthetics, you know, presentations, so that we can then be able to reach non-Christian audience, or do we stick to Christian way of doing things? You know, when I'm in Rome, I do like the Romans. Some would argue, you know, I don't drink, but when I'm with people who drink, just so that I can get them and catch them, I need to drink as well. What's your thought, especially for content creators?
There's no limit to creativity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm going to tell Christians, be as creative as you can. Ooh. And by the way, creativity is the most original science human beings have ever done. Because you can't, the moment you start critiquing my creativity, you are actually becoming a hindrance to development.
Mm.
Because the very thing you're critiquing, you must create it. I always tell people, if there's one biggest frustration you're seeing in church, that's actually your call.
Okay, solve it.
Solve it.
That's an interesting thought. Okay.
So what I'm saying is, Jesus says the children of this world are wiser than the children of the kingdom.
Sure.
Remember that evil servant who knew I'm going to be fired?
Yeah.
And he went to the people who owed the king,
started
canceling out the debts. You owe 100, cut out 50, pay 50.
Yeah.
He did it so that when he gets fired, he will get friends who will support him.
Mm.
So, but having said that, there are principles that must guide us as Christian content creators when we go online. There is this principle that says we have divine origin and profanity.
Okay.
Meaning defiled.
Okay.
Our productions, our content must not glorify us. It's not about you.
Mm. Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's about the Jesus mm-hmm. that burns mm-hmm. inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
So we must always seek to give glory to God.
Yeah.
Fear Him.
Yeah.
And give glory to Him in yeah. your creations.
Yeah.
If this production is more about you as a person and what you have achieved, how does it glorify God then?
Mm.
Because you've turned yourself into a true idol on the media, a mogul online.
Mm.
You are now having followers around you. I struggled a bit with that terminology before.
Ish.
To ask people to follow me.
Yeah.
But I thought they must follow
Christ.
So as Christians, we must create content knowing that it's communicating the kingdom message about our kingdom ruler, Christ the King, of which we are priests.
Mm.
Ambassadors have no business with local politics because they are in this space to represent their country.
Yeah.
They will only have interest in politics when it impacts on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
And so I believe there must be differences in our content.
Mm.
Even the music we record, our videos must not sound so worldly.
Mm-hmm.
They must have the divine presence of God. And we must not have secular styles of singing or preaching or doing things online. I mean, I can't just start being on a radio TV station and say, yo, my brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, welcome to
this. That's definitely how I'm starting Business Sense tomorrow. I'm going to say, yo, Business Sense.
There's a certain level of dignity and honesty and,
you
know, divine presence. We're doing this for God, and so we must be humble about it. And I always struggle with my children on that. Don't secularize your Christian content by the way you want to rap, you want to do reggae online. I know there's a styles from the other part of the world, but be authentic.
It gets followers and views, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will get a lot of followers.
But how many of those viewers?
Yeah.
Quality viewers that know about God.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, let me give you the metric of heaven. I hope someone is listening.
Yeah.
Listen very carefully on this
one.
When one sinner repents, what happens in heaven?
I love that.
The basis of joy in heaven is one.
I love that, yeah.
So when you start a live stream and there's one person, heaven says this is the one.
Oh, yeah.
So the metric of, you see the secularity of followers, many of them in going viral versus the kingdom agenda. Jesus came, and Ellen White says even if it was for one sinner, he would have still died like he's died for the whole world. So preach and teach like you're meant for that one person. If the numbers come, fair enough. We'll rent a boat, push Jesus into the waters so that we can... we're okay with the numbers.
I'm
fine with God having doubled our ministry because now I've got far more reach.
Yeah.
If one shares and the other shares and shares, more people are reached.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
But don't chase the numbers. Don't go popular. Eesh. Don't go secular. Eesh. Don't go celebrity.
Eesh.
There are no celebrities in church.
Yeah.
We are all brothers.
Yeah, yeah. I want us to close with this one because of time, but there's comment that says from Amanda, very informative conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Great.
Thank you. How do we, I suppose, who are content creators and maybe in the church media space, because like you're saying, we are not celebrities and shouldn't be celebrities.
No.
How do we fight that edge?
It's called, if you don't mind, I could read this verse.
Yeah, please.
Since we are on a Christian radio. I mean, we can't close this.
Yeah.
I know it's business, but let's do kingdom business.
Yes, definitely.
Matthew 11, verse 28 comes to mind, 28 to 30.
Yeah.
It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden,
and I will give you rest.
I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek
and lowly
in heart,
and
you shall find rest for your souls.
Yeah.
The invitation of Jesus to every one of us is learn from me.
Mm.
Come to me.
Mm.
The true Christian content creator is
learn.
God.
Learn from.
Is God. Just go to Genesis 1 and you will see him create content.
Okay. Hmm.
And he espouses the digital media space.
Hmm. Okay.
let there be light. Nothing can be created in darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
And God spoke, and the universe heard him.
Mm.
You need audio.
Mm.
If people are watching online and they can't hear us.
Yeah, then there's no there's no point to all of this, right?
So make sure you are creating based on you having clarity from Jesus on what needs to be said.
Yes.
Don't just run with any content in jail. Your content informed by learn from me.
Mm.
And do it lowly.
Yeah.
Do it meekly.
Yeah.
And don't do it for the public gallery. Do it because God said, do it.
Sure. 10 seconds. Round it up. Let's bring it home.
Digital media is here to help us finish the work. Mm. Let's embrace it.
Mm.
Let's harness every opportunity we have. And let's optimize.
Mm.
Nature does not accept a vacuum.
Yeah.
It will fill it with something.
Yeah.
If we are not online, the wicked will fill the space with wickedness.
Sure. Love it. Nature does not work on a vacuum. And let's fill it. Thank you so much, Mayeld.
You're most welcome.
Really
and
appreciate
greetings
it.
To our listeners.
Indeed. That was a beautiful, beautiful conversation. I hope that you are blessed.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.